Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
Jacob must have been an interesting man. Read through the account of his life, you can't help but wonder what it would have been like to have known him. Because Jacob's life ran the gamut from that which was worthy of shame to that which was worthy of imitation. Jacob begins as a deceiver, a liar, a cheater, but ends with his name being listed among faith's hall of fame. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 and 21. Interesting individual. We're going to focus our attention on one event in Jacob's life that I think in some ways typifies what was probably his lifelong struggle. And in it, I hope we'll find some lessons that perhaps we can use ourselves. Just by way of reminder, for those that may be visiting tonight or others that may have forgotten or may not be aware, our Sunday night lessons in 2007 are coinciding with our daily Bible reading plan. And we should have some of those plans out in the foyer. At least we have in recent weeks. If not, we'll get some more out there if you don't have one. And our Sunday evening sermons will be taken from a part of the text of the previous week's reading. And this was part of our Old Testament reading this past week. Let's talk about the event, first of all. Just talk about what happened in this strange circumstance in Jacob's life. You might remember that Jacob had left the land of Canaan years earlier because he had tricked his brother again. Esau was supposed to receive the blessing from his father. But due to the conniving of Rachel and Jacob, they were able to finagle the blessing. Rebecca, actually, wasn't it? Thank you. I knew I said something wrong and I couldn't figure out what it was. Rebecca and Jacob had gotten the blessing to be given not to Esau but to Jacob. Well, because of Jacob's fear of Esau and his fear of Esau's retaliation, he left and had been gone for quite a number of years. But it was time for him to come back to Canaan, and he was on his way back to seek reconciliation with Esau. But the night before he meets his brother, this amazing thing happens. He spent the entire night struggling, wrestling with an angel. The text in one place says a man. Context is clear that this was no ordinary man. It was not even an ordinary angel. This, we might say, was the angel. Referred to in some texts of the Old Testament, I believe, is the same as the angel of the Lord, which was a physical manifestation of deity. Perhaps the second person of the Godhead in some physical form. As you'll notice that in verse 28 of this text, when Jacob's name is changed to Israel, the reason is given that you have striven with God. And again, in Jacob's own words, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God." So this was not just your basic run-of-the-mill angel. It was not just some human being. This was some kind of manifestation of deity. sometimes referred to by the term theophany. Well, he wrestled with God throughout the night. And at one point, this angel, as he is referred to, touched Jacob's hip and it went out of joint, verse 25. Which, incidentally, is a clear indication that had the angel desired to just take care of Jacob once and for all, he very well could have. The fact that this struggle went on all night was because God allowed it to go on that long. And the fact that he could merely touch the hip and remove it from its joint was a clear indication that to Jacob and anyone else that God was simply allowing the struggle to go on as long as it was. It wasn't that Jacob had superhuman strength and had the capacity, the ability to put his physical strength against the strength of God and it end up in a stalemate. That was not what was happening here. God was allowing the struggle. And He was allowing it for a point. And so the hip is out of joint and Jacob says he's not going to let go. He says, I will not let go, verse 26, unless you bless me. The angel in response to that said, what is your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. Supplanter, deceiver. That's what the name Jacob means. Then the angel changes his name. Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel. Because the name Israel means one who strives with God. Another indication that this was some manifestation of deity. One who strives with God. Some translations or marginal references will have Prince with God as a possible rendering of the name Israel. So Jacob struggles with the angel. Struggles all night, wrestles all night. And says, I'll not let you go until you bless me. And his name is changed to Israel. But what I want for us to focus on is not just that Jacob had his name changed, but that in the process of his life, his character changed. And it's with that in mind that we consider the lessons. The lessons, what are they? Number one, when you must struggle or wrestle with life, hold on tightly to God. When you have to struggle with life, when you're wrestling with some aspect of existence, hold on to God. Borrow Jacob's words if you have to. And in the midst of your struggle with life, in whatever form that may come in, it may be physical illness, it may be stress and pressure from your work, maybe stress, pressure from your family life, perhaps things related to that are not what you'd like them to be. Perhaps it's persecution, mistreatment from those on the outside of the body of Christ. People that you interact with regularly that just continually give you a hard time because you're a Christian and you're not afraid to say so. Whatever it is that may be bringing you some kind of struggle in life, borrow the words of Jacob and say, God, I will not let you go until I'm blessed because of this process. See, many times that's where we fail. Many times when life gets tough, And when we face those difficulties like that, we don't hold on to God until we're blessed by the process. We give in to the temptation to turn from God, to let go of God. And in some instances, we even turn the tables and blame God. One of the lessons that Jacob teaches us is that there are blessings, some blessings, that come only to those who struggle. Only to those that persevere. Certain blessings can only be ours, and they're blessings that we want. But they will only come through perseverance in trial. They will come no other way. In Luke 18, verse 7, the Bible says, God will give justice to those who cry out to Him day and night. That's perseverance. Many times in our prayers, we give up too easily. We have some burden on our hearts and we want to cast that burden upon the Lord, and we pray one time, and if it's not handled in 15 minutes, we say, okay, I guess prayer doesn't work. Well, the Bible teaches perseverance in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Colossians 4, verse 2. Men ought always to pray and never to faint. Luke 18, 1. God will give justice to those who cry to Him day and night, to those that are persistent. Romans 15, verse 30, Paul encouraged the brethren, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. There is a striving to be done in prayer. How often do we think about prayer in those terms? That prayer involves striving, struggle. Many times our prayers are so shallow that we never reach the point in which we're really striving in prayer. Luke 13, verse 24, Jesus said, strive to enter the narrow gate. Aren't those all blessings that we'd love to have? Justice from the hand of God? The blessings of prayer? An entrance into the narrow gate? None of that will be ours in the absence of struggle. And so when we're in the midst of those struggles, our answer should be exactly what Jacob said in that night of struggle in his life. I'll not let go of God until a blessing is mine. It is the testing of our faith that produces a lot of the character traits that so many of us really want to have. Everybody wants to develop patience. We all recognize the need for it. We all recognize that it's a good characteristic. We all want to have it. But the Bible is clear that it is the trying of your faith that produces patience. James 1, verse 2. Paul said in Romans 5, verse 4, tribulation produces patience, and patience character, and character hope. See, there are some blessings that will not be ours in the absence of struggle. And so, when you must struggle and wrestle with life, hold on to God and don't let go until some blessing is yours. Lesson number two. This event in the life of Jacob teaches us that one can change his name if he strives hard enough. One can change his name if he strives hard enough. Jacob, in his wrestling with the angel of the Lord, eventually received a name change. Because he struggled. And his name reflected that. You shall be called Israel, one who strives with God. But you see, at first, Jacob's name fit perfectly. Remember, his name means supplanter, deceiver. And that's exactly what Jacob was from the time that he came from the womb. That's why he was named what he was named. deceiver, swindler, cheater, liar. That's what Jacob was. But he got a name change that reflected a character change. Through Jacob's life struggles, he changed his character. And through that brief wrestling match, changed his name. So can you. If you've got a name, a reputation, a history that needs a change, you can have it. Jacob's not the only one that went through that. Matthew, do you remember, had a name that was associated with disgrace and disrespect. Why? Because he was tax collector, publican. These were the turncoats, the traitors. These were Jewish men that had been employed by Rome, had oppressive power that kept the Jewish people under its thumb. And these Jewish men allowed themselves to be employed by Rome to collect Rome's taxes for them. And so the tax collectors were always associated with that which was disgraceful to the common person. Disrespectful. In Matthew 9, verses 9 through 11, when Jesus calls Matthew and eats with him, the Pharisees, the enemies of Christ, cast the accusation toward Jesus that He eats with publicans and sinners. Why does He do that? See, Matthew had a name that was associated with that kind of disgrace. But that's not really how we remember Matthew, is it? We remember Matthew as an apostle of Christ, who wrote an account of the life of Christ that's probably quoted more than the others. That's how we remember Matthew. He changed his name by changing his calling. He was no longer a collector of taxes for Rome. He became an apostle of Jesus Christ. You can change your name by changing your direction if you need to. What about Saul? Saul of Tarsus. Oh, he had a name. It was a name associated with persecution and terror. Do you remember when the Lord spoke to Ananias in Acts 9? After the Lord had spoken to Saul on the Damascus road and sent Saul into the city, God then spoke to Ananias and told Ananias, here's where you need to go to find a man named Saul. You'll find him praying. Do you remember what the response of Ananias was? Lord, I've heard a lot about this man. In other words, Saul had a name. He had a reputation. People knew who he was. He was the killer of Christians. Ananias was a bit apprehensive about making that journey through the city to go find this Saul. Saul had a name. He would say of himself in Galatians chapter 1 that he was advancing in Judaism beyond many of his own countrymen and was building for himself a reputation in Judaism that probably, had he kept going that direction, would have exceeded all others in the history of Judaism. Taught at the feet of Gamaliel. Still today in Judaism, one of the most respected teachers that they ever had. And Saul, the student of Gamaliel, was on a good pace to outrun his teacher. Yes, Saul had a name associated with persecution, terror, murder. But he changed it. He changed his reputation. And God changed his name, and Saul would later be referred to not as the killer of Christians, but our beloved brother, Paul. Peter called him that. 2 Peter 3, verse 16. Jacob was once the supplanter, the deceiver, the cheater, the liar. But his life didn't end that way. He changed his name through struggle. The writer of Proverbs said, chapter 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. There have been many throughout the history of the world who have changed their names, their reputations, by the transforming power of God's message. Jacob had a lifelong struggle, culminating in one major event in one night that teaches us in our life struggles, hold on to God. And it teaches us that if we strive hard enough, we can change our names if needed. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, we find this concluding statement that for those who overcome, they shall be given a new name. Jesus said that to one of the congregations in Asia to whom the book of Revelation was written, and those seven churches there that He dictated these individual letters to. He ended them all very similarly. To those who overcome will get some kind of blessing. Here He says those that overcome will be given a new name. But just by using the terminology overcome, that implies what? Struggle. That implies a striving. That implies some kind of conflict. And those Christians were about to face it. Some of them already were. They were facing terrible conflict and struggle, trying to remain faithful in the middle of an oppressive empire that was trying to get Christians to renounce their faith in Christ. But He says, if you overcome, you'll get a new name. What is your name? Maybe you recognize that you're in a struggle right now. Maybe that's what your life is at the moment. Just one big, long struggle. Jacob says, if that's you, hold on to God. And hold on to Him till you're blessed. Perhaps you need a name change, a character change. Maybe you've just reached the point in your life where you just don't want to be, you don't want to be known anymore as the liar. You don't want to be known anymore as the cheater. You don't want to be recognized or known anymore as the adulterer. You're tired of being known as the one with the filthy language. You're just sick of being recognized as the gossip. You're tired of being the one who's simply known as the divider of brethren. You don't want to be known anymore as the sourpuss. Never has anything positive or happy to say. Maybe you need a name change. Maybe you need a character adjustment. If that's you, Jacob says, if I can do it, anybody can. Let the transforming power of the Word of God have free course in your life. If you just simply want to be known as a Christian, that's the name God wants you to wear. The prophet Isaiah said centuries ago, chapter 62, verse 2, He would call His people by a new name. When the Gentiles receive My righteousness, then they shall be called by a new name. In Acts 11:26, we're told what that name is. After the Gentiles had received His righteousness, the Gentiles had been converted as well as the Jews. The Bible says, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. If that's the name you want to wear, you want to put aside all those other ones that used to characterize your life, now's your opportunity to do that. Come to Jesus who died for you. Trust Him. Trust Him to save your soul. Trust Him to do for you what you cannot do on your own for yourself. He tasted of death for every man. But the blessings and benefits of His death will not be applied to your account unless you're willing to submit your life to Him. That's what faith is. Obedient trust in God. Believe in Jesus. John 3, verse 16. Turn from your sins. Repent. Acts 17, 30. Confess your faith in Christ. Romans 10, 10. And then be baptized, immersed in water, for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark 16, verse 16. If you'll do those very simple steps, you'll get a new name. The name Christian.